Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is sacked. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
That's game time right there. That's game time right there.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Minicamp's over. The Bills have scattered, but we're going to sit down with quarterback Jeff Toole and see how his minicamp went, his offseason went, and his plans for the season ahead. Ross Tucker, former Bills offensive lineman, now an analyst for SiriusXM NFL Radio, joins us at 8 o'clock. And actor Bill Fichtner, the Cheektowaga native, a huge Bills fan, he'll be in studio with us at 8:30.
This place is pandemonium!
At the 10, at the 5, heads to the end zone, touchdown! DJ Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hey, hello there, good evening. Hope you're ready to go for a couple of hours here. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO for a Friday night, a beautiful, beautiful Friday night here in Buffalo, temperature in the mid-70s, a perfect summer day here, and looking forward to talking a little Bills football with you tonight, wherever you may be, here in Buffalo or elsewhere. With the phone lines open, as they always are, give us a call. The number to call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. We're going to talk, you know, we finished up, the Bills finished up the mini camp yesterday. We talked about that a lot last night. Tonight, we sit here 4 weeks away from the report day for the 2014 Bills training camp. Can you believe that? On Friday, July 18, the Bills will report. They'll be on the field 2 days later on July 20th. But 4 weeks from today, report day. That'll be our first night of broadcasting from Buffalo Bills training camp, 4 weeks from tonight. So we sit here 4 weeks away from training camp. We're kind of reassessing, resetting. We've talked about the OTAs. We've talked about the minicamp. Obviously, we've been through the draft and free agency and going all the way back to the winter with the Senior Bowl and the Combine, et cetera. Now we want to look ahead instead of looking back. We want to look ahead to training camp with the opening of training camp 4 weeks away. The question for the Buffalo Bills, what's their biggest question mark headed into training camp next month? What's the one thing that you would go to training camp and say, this is what I'm coming to watch at training camp? What is it? Easy to say, E.J. Manuel, I know. A lot of people are going to say that. I would say that. I think we may not get answers at what we see on the field in, at St. John Fisher, but certainly through preseason, through the preseason games, we should have a pretty good sense of E.J. Manuel and what progress he may have made from last year to this. So E.J. Manuel is going to be at the top or near the top of everybody's list. I would submit that Brandon Spikes is going to be a guy to watch in training camp 4 weeks hence. In addition to the Buffalo defense that they desperately need, a run-stuffing linebacker that they definitely need, the Achilles heel in their defense last year against the run. Brandon Spikes brought in at a pretty fair price to try to stop that up. I would say a lot of people are going to keep an eye on Sammy Watkins, and why wouldn't you? The Bills have used two first-round picks on Sammy Watkins moving up in the draft this year to go get Sammy Watkins. They have a lot invested in him, and a lot of people are going to want to see what he looks like at training camp this year. But there are others as well. The offensive line, even based on what we saw this past week, does Chris Hairston stay in there and play at right guard, or does he kind of kick out to tackle again? And is Chris Hairston ready to play? Is he healthy again and ready to play for the entire season? Does Cyrus Kwanjo make a bid for a starting spot, maybe at right tackle? He didn't get a lot of first-team reps over the minicamp at the right side at right tackle, but maybe Cyrus Kwanjo by training camp will be ready to make that move. What about the backup running backs they brought in? Bryce Brown, acquired in the trade from Philadelphia. Boobie Dixon, acquired in free agency from San Francisco. What roles might they play in this Buffalo offense? And what about year two for some talented receivers like Marquise Goodwin, our guest on the show last night, and year two for Robert Woods? These are all some of the issues that you might want to go to training camp. So we ask you to think to yourself, what am I most curious about? What am I most interested in when the Bills go to training camp 4 weeks from tonight when they report to training camp? We mentioned Brandon Spikes on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a hole to plug at safety with Jairus Byrd gone and Denoris Searcy. It would appear based on the mini camps as the edge anyway going to training camp over anybody else to play alongside Aaron Williams. The corners are back. Is there something that Corey Graham can add to that cornerback spot? He was a guy who got an awful lot of reps during the OTAs and minicamp with McKelvin and Stephon Gilmore recovering from surgeries. So what's on your mind as you look ahead? We're asking you, look ahead. 4 weeks from tonight, report day for the Buffalo Bills at training camp. And what's on your mind is the biggest question. What are you most curious about? What's the biggest question that you want go to training camp and you want to see answered? The biggest question mark as the Bills head into training camp 4 weeks from tonight. Lines are open. Give us a call, 803-0550. The number, toll free from outside Buffalo, it's 1-888-550-2550. And you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets already in answer to this question. Christopher Gump says, if they're moving or not. I can answer that now for you, Christopher. They're not moving. Running on empty tweets, has EJ improved? Yep, that's pretty much on everybody's mind. Omar Rashid tweets in, Bills need more D-line depth and more consistency from the offense. Can't argue with that. Luis Estrada tweets in, if EJ has really improved from last season and if he can lead the team to the playoffs. We won't know that answer at training camp, but that's kind of along the lines of what we're thinking. The Bills go to training camp 4 weeks from today. What's their biggest question mark as they head into camp next month? Give us a call, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. A beautiful Friday night, as we said. You heard the lineup. We're going to hear from quarterback Jeff Toole a little bit later on this hour. Jeff Toole going to training camp, hoping to challenge for the number two spot. I think he did a pretty good job of solidifying his hold on the number three spot during this OTA and minicamp. Ross Tucker, former Bills offensive lineman, who's made quite a career for himself on the radio, on television. He works for NBC Sports Network. He works for SiriusXM NFL Radio. He does a regular weekly podcast. He is kind of a deep thinker when it comes to the NFL. Ross Tucker joins us live at 8 o'clock. And Cheektowaga native Bill Fichtner, Western New Yorker, Maryvale High School, actor. You see him in a million different movies. He's played a million different parts. He's been around for years and years, and he is a big-time Bills fan. He'll be in studio with us tonight also at 8:30. But the phones are open for you. Anything you'd like to talk about regarding the Bills or the NFL, 803-0550, the number to call. A little bit of ownership news today. A statement from the Pegulas about possibly owning the Buffalo Bills. Terry Pegula, owner of the Buffalo Sabres, issued a statement through Sabres spokesman Mike Gilbert. The statement said, in part, a prepared statement released by the Sabres, quote, like everyone else in the community, the Pegulas have a strong desire to have the Bills remain a centerpiece of the region. Accordingly, they have been following the developments on the sale of the Bills. But Gilbert said, out of respect for the sale process, the Pegulas will not be issuing any further statements. The statement released in response to numerous reports of the Pegulas having serious interest in buying the Bills, who are on the market after Ralph Wilson died in March. So the Pegulas say, the statement from the Pegulas, they have a strong desire to have the Bills remain a centerpiece in this region. You can fill in the blanks from there. As we said, the minicamp ended yesterday, and we look forward now to the start of training camp 4 weeks from tonight. Everybody's going to want to keep an eye on E.J. Manuel, obviously. And yesterday at the end of minicamp, Bills coach Doug Marrone was asked to gauge E.J. Manuel's progress from a year ago. Is Manuel ahead of where he was a year ago at this time?
Quite a bit further, you know, especially, you know, the amount that we have in and the amount that was given to him. You know, I think it's always at this stage in those guys' career, when I say those type of guys, you know, young quarterbacks, especially one that hasn't practiced, you know, as much as him, you know, because of the injuries, you know, to have, out of everyone on this football team, make no mistake about it, that position has the most. He's put in a lot of work. He has a much, much better understanding. It's exciting. What you hope to see as training camp and the installation goes in, you see it better the next time around. And then what happens after that is it starts getting better because now the playbook starts reducing to what you're going to do. So it's a natural reaction. The thing that we were concentrating on, and I said it before, was, you know, to make sure that he had the fundamentals that I think a lot of people may not be able to see because we're always looking for the end result. But I think in these last couple of days, you know, we've had some good results with yesterday, you know, probably being the best day he's ever, you know, that he's had really, you know, in third down, you know, when he was here. So there's a lot of things that are going on that you get excited about. And we have to carry that on and go and do that when the preseason comes.
That's Doug Marrone talking about E.J. Manuel. He said he is quite a bit further ahead than he was a year ago, and especially the stuff that we may not be able to see from the sidelines looking in. According to Marrone, he has a much better understanding. He has put in a lot of work concentrating on the fundamentals that, in Marrone's words, you may not be able to see because we look for the end result. But they seem pretty confident about what they've seen from E.J. Manuel through the OTAs and minicamp. All right, 4 weeks until the Bills return for training camp. What do they do? Well, we talked with Matt Bowen about that last night, former Bills defensive back. But Doug Marrone had some thoughts on that issue as well. Marrone says the onus really is on the players to make sure that they don't totally drift away from football over the next 4 weeks. They've got some work to do to get ready for training camp.
I've always had a philosophy of that, you know, you never really start where you left off. I mean, I've always said that. I talked to the players early on about, you know, retention, meaning we're going over a lot of things, putting a lot of information in, and it's important that you can retain this stuff so when we report to camp. We're going to go ahead and reinstall, and that's the way we teach, again, the same installation that we've done over these days. So this way they get the same installation at least three times. When you do that and they can recall the plays and what we want to do, that enables them to concentrate on the technique and the little things that can really make a difference. So when we talk about retention, that's what we're looking for, being able to retain so we can get into more of the detail, you know, of what we're trying to accomplish.
Doug Marrone talking about the way they'll come back mentally after these 4 weeks off. He was asked yesterday, the head coach was asked if Bills players can get better, if they can improve their game, sharpen things up over the next month when they are not here at One Bills Drive.
I don't know if I have enough time to answer that question because there's a lot of things that you can do. I mean, the one thing you have to do is, you know, you have to be careful from a nutrition standpoint, a sleep standpoint. You have to get ready. You know, you're going to a training camp. It's a lot more difficult than people think, you know, what you go through. Not only just, you know, the physical part of it, but for some, the emotional part. Am I going to make this team? Am I not going to make this team? You know, I had a bad play. You know, did the coaches think I have a bad practice? There's a lot going on mentally that you got to be prepared for. It's not easy to go through that camp. You know, at the end of the day, we sit down and we write about players and, you know, so-and-so didn't make the team and so-and-so didn't get cut, you know, and we take it for granted. You know, it's a life-changing experience for these guys. And I don't think anyone that really hasn't gone through it really understands the amount of work that they put into it. You know, if you think that these guys are going to, you know, leave here and go lay out on the beach somewhere and do nothing all day and then just report to camp, it can't happen. You know, there's testing that gets done at camp that these players have to be ready for because physically they have to be at a certain level to be able to go out there and perform.
That's what Matt Bowen talked about last night, the 300-yard shuttle that many teams, I believe the Bills do something similar to that at the first day of training camp, put them to a conditioning test. And Doug Marrone mentions that they've got to be ready for that. But even before that, I really found it fascinating. One of the best points I thought Doug Marrone made yesterday was about the mental aspect of being ready for camp, about being able to weather the storm. I mean, think about it. All you're doing is work. All you're talking about, thinking about is work. All of us have jobs. Most of us has jobs. You go into work, you go home, and you try not to think about work 24/7. When these guys go to training camp, that's all they have. Teammates, coaches, treatment, conditioning work, practice, film room, you know, studying the playbook. It's all work. There's very little downtime. That could put a mental strain on these players, these young guys, all of whom are, you know, want to make the team, many of whom aren't sure if they're going to make the team. So as Marrone said, it's not only the physical part of training camp, but he wants them to be ready for the emotional part, worrying about, am I going to make the team? Did I have a bad practice? Did I have a bad play? As Marrone said, there's a lot going on mentally that he needs to have these players prepared for. And that's part of what they can do over the next few weeks, the next 4 weeks, as they get ready for training camp. Doug Marrone's thoughts on how the Bills will come back in 4 weeks. If you've got thoughts about that, what you're going to be looking at when the Bills return after the next 4 weeks off, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. 4 weeks away from the report day for Bills training camp. Not just head coach Doug Marrone, but the coordinators too, I'm sure, looking forward to first getting some time off, and then going back to training camp, maybe especially so for defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, who is installing a new defense. He's plugging new pieces into the defense from last year's defensive roster and last year's defensive scheme. Earlier this week, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz was asked, when he goes to training camp, what's the thing that he's most eager to learn about his players on the defensive side of the ball?
Anybody, when you talk about training camp, you talk about shoulder pads and contact and things like that. And we get a lot of work done in our OTAs and so far in our mini camp. But there's only so much you can do without contact. I mean, we're playing a game of football, and we're reserved judgment on a lot of our linebackers and defensive linemen until we can actually bang things around a little bit. And that'll go a long way to seeing where we are defensively. So I think any coach is looking forward to the pads going on and a little bit of contact in training camp just to get a better idea in, how physical you can be and what you can accomplish. It's hard out there now because, you're trying to avoid contact. You're not trying to, be physical. You're trying to be safe this time of year.
That's defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz talking this week about getting ready for training camp and how things change once they get to training camp and there is contact and some physical play. There was some competition during the past week of minicamp, however, many of it coming during the two-minute drill, especially at the end of Wednesday's practice. And Jim Schwartz, the Bills' defensive coordinator, says he's not surprised that things heat up a little bit when they get into the two-minute drill.
Guys are competitive. I mean, they should. And I think that when you have a situation like that, everybody knows what's at stake. It's not like a play inside of practice. You put a very specific time limit on a play in a game situation, and everybody's competitive juices start to flow, and coaches included in that. You want to do well, and the players want to do well. So we expect that from them. We've also had some red zone periods in our off-season program that have been very competitive. But I think the players have done a good job of not crossing the line and not confusing competitive with combative. And I've been real proud of them that way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They were competitive in yesterday's red zone drill and the two-minute drill on Wednesday. But it wasn't overly physical. It wasn't combative. There was obviously no hitting, no pads, but very competitive. Guys wanted to make plays. Guys wanted to win. Defense wanted to win. The offense wanted to win. One of the guys who stood out during the OTAs and minicamp, and it shouldn't be a surprise, coming off his best year of his career, Jerry Hughes, who was a situational pass rusher, played about half of the snaps last year. Probably, I would think, going to play a little bit more, maybe not much more, but a little bit more on defensive snaps this year. But in particular, Jim Schwartz, the Bills' defensive coordinator, was asked in particular about Jerry Hughes and what he saw of him during the OTAs and minicamp.
You have to sort of reserve a little bit of judgment until the pads come on, but he is a very good pass rusher, and we can use him in a lot of different roles. He stood up at times, he's down at times. Sometimes quarterback's going to have to evaluate whether he's a linebacker or a defensive end. I don't think there's anything a whole lot different than some of the stuff he was used last year in. But he can change the game with pass rush, and that's a big thing in this game, and those guys are very valuable.
Jerry Hughes consistently was a handful for whoever was lined up across him on the Bills' offensive line during the OTAs and minicamp. I thought he was one of the standout players, but again, we saw that last year, and it sounds like, if you listen to what Jim Schwartz is saying, it sounds like more of the same this year in terms of the workload, in terms of the work assignment for defensive end slash linebacker Jerry Hughes. That's going to be one of the things to watch when they do get to training camp, to watch how the defense lines up, who plays where, and if the playing time is rationed out any differently than it was a year ago. One more thing from Jim Schwartz, Bills' defensive coordinator. As we said, 4 weeks left until the report day for training camp, and Schwartz was asked what he expects and what he hopes his players will do in this next month.
We can't afford to take any steps back, whether it's conditioning or also momentum defensively or knowledge of the defense. Yesterday we came out, and after a four-day weekend, we didn't perform as well yesterday as we did last Thursday. And, I mentioned before, this is a consistency business. You have to be at your best every single time you step on the field. So we've accomplished a lot this offseason. We've installed most of our schemes. We've got a look at a lot of different guys. We've had some really good work on the field. But what we can't afford to do is, over the next month, is to take any step back, both physically and mentally. It's good for those guys to get a break before training camp. Their head can never get too far away from this game, and I think our guys will respond to that challenge.
I think he makes a good point, something to watch, especially with a team that's young, kind of young, like the Buffalo Bills. This is not a four-week vacation. It is a break from the everyday grind of pro football, but the real grind is coming up 4 weeks away, and I think Jim Schwartz makes a good point about they can't take steps back. This team, when they get to training camp and start practicing 4 weeks from this Sunday, they're going to really have to be on point and not take any steps back. Just a little setup for 4 weeks away, the Bills report day for training camp, 4 weeks away from today. Ticket news from the Bills. They've announced that individual game tickets are going to be available for purchase during a special online presale next Thursday, June 26th at 9 a.m. That's a full day before the individual game tickets go on sale to the general public. The presale will be available to subscribers of the Buffalo Bills email. And those subscribers will get an online promotional code, which will be required for purchase. So if you want to get Bills emails, go to buffalobills.com/profile, and they'll tell you how to sign up for Bills emails. Once you do that, you are eligible for the presale of individual game tickets, which is next Thursday. Individual game tickets go on sale for the general public next Friday, a week from today. And that, of course, this year featuring variable pricing. But if you want to jump on that, jump on the individual game tickets, you can sign up to receive Bills emails, and you can do that by going to buffalobills.com/profile. One other NFL note today, very quiet day in the National Football League, but no Sean Moreno in the Miami Dolphins. He is not getting the reps that they had expected he would get. And NFL.com's Ian Rappaport says Moreno's lack of activity is due to his left knee. It's been bothering him all spring long. Yesterday, Thursday, the Dolphins had him take it easy. It's not the knee that Moreno injured back in 2011 when he suffered a torn ACL, but Moreno's knee is really slow to respond, and arthroscopic surgery is possible for the running back. No Sean Moreno, who signed a one-year deal with the Dolphins this offseason after playing in Denver. Interesting to watch that. All right, that's the news of the day. That's the Bills news of the day, and we've got a lot more coming up. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Ross Tucker, former Buffalo Bills offensive lineman who's carved out a great career for himself as a host on Sirius XM NFL Radio. He writes for Sporting News or does broadcasting and internet work for Sporting News. He is on NBC Sports Network. He is got a podcast, a very popular Ross Tucker football podcast. He's going to be joining us at 8 o'clock tonight. At 8:30, Bill Fichtner, a Western New York native, Cheektowaga, Maryvale High School, Buffalo Bills fan. He is an actor. You know who he is. If you Google him up, you see his face, you'll know exactly who he is. He'll be joining us in studio at 8:30. Coming up next, fresh off the field after the OTAs and minicamp, Bills backup quarterback Jeff Toole. Where does he stand on this roster right now, and what lies ahead for Jeff Toole? We'll sit down and talk with him about it when we return. It is the John Murphy Show. We're presented by NOCO tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. The Bills' three-day minicamp is over, and a pretty good minicamp for the guy who joined us in studio in his second-year quarterback, Jeff Toole. Thanks for coming by here, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What a difference it must be from a year ago at this time when you went through minicamp. I would think anyway, huh?
Well, absolutely. You know, it definitely was, you know, like you said earlier, kind of a crash course when we showed up here and just trying to learn things as quickly as possible. But now we've kind of been able to take a breath and really try to learn the concepts in and out and really truly understand them.
How much have the concepts changed of this offense from last year to this?
There's some, not a huge amount, but definitely enough to where we needed to work them out. And we've had some trial and error with some stuff. But overall, it's been going really well.
I wonder, Jeff, if it makes a difference to have a guy, actually two guys, both Thad and EJ, alongside of you, all of whom went into the system at approximately the same time a year ago. I mean, you all kind of got thrown into the deep end a year ago at the same time. Does that help as far as assimilating and learning this offense?
Oh, definitely, because, you know, we learn from each other's mistakes, and we also grow with each other. So kind of have a one-for-all and all-for-one mentality. So we got each other's backs. We learn from each other, push each other, and ask each other questions, and we're growing together.
Tell me what you came into these OTAs in the minicamp this last, what, 4 or 5 weeks of workouts here. What was your goal to come here this past spring? What were you trying to get done?
Honestly, just get better in all aspects of my game, both just physically, mentally, and truly. I think for quarterbacks and a guy like myself to I can grow the most in my mental aspect of the game and just understand the defenses and understand the playbook and just grow as much as I can with those kinds of things. But, you know, so it's a lot more than just on-field workouts and whatnot.
Before you got to work here, I think it was April 22nd or so, how much contact did you have? How much work did you do with the coaching staff here to kind of get ready for year two with the Bills?
You know, I would – Coach Hackett would call me every once in a while, and we would just, you know, catch up and just chat. But, you know, for the most part, they really give you that time just to really get it off your chest and just, I guess, relax and regroup yourself. And so by the time you come back, they're ready to hit the ground running.
How did you spend that time? I'm thinking the last game last year was December 29th, so you had essentially 4 months off. I'm sure you didn't take all that 4 months to do nothing. Tell me what you did during those 4 months.
No, I go crazy. If I'm not doing something, I go crazy. but I actually went back to school, Washington State University, got my degree in communications, with a minor in business, so I accomplished that, so I'm happy about that. So I was back at school, working out, going to school, doing all those things, so when I came back, I felt like I was in great shape and just continue to get better.
What do you want to do with that communications degree somewhere down the road?
You know, I'm not sure. It's an emphasis in PR, so I'm not too sure about it yet. Hopefully some doors will open and I'll just kind of find a path to go with it. But right now I'm just concentrating on ball.
Is it sports PR that you think might be your future or any kind of public relations?
I think definitely sports. You know, yeah. I want to stay around the game if I can and or just sports in general.
Talking with Jeff Toole, Bills quarterback. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. How much during that 4 months off, if at all, did you spend thinking about last year, maybe reviewing some of last year? Even did you look at video from last year?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it's just for me, it's just more fuel. I mean, whatever. You wake up tired one day. You don't want to go run or lift or throw. And I just think about, you know, whatever bad plays that happened last year, a pick and those things. And it's just fuel for me. And I think, you know, those plays can either make a guy better or worse. And for me, it's really made me better and made me want to just grind even harder and get even better with everything I'm doing. So it's really just fuel for me. And I spend a lot of time thinking about it, both good and bad, the good as well. And things I can really grow from.
I was going to say, I hope you don't ignore the good things. I mean, think about preseason last year, the preseason games. You had to be pretty happy with the way things went for you in preseason last year.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. You can't, you know, it can never be too high. It can never be too low. Just kind of try to stay level headed. But at the same time, just go to work and always want to be better.
You got the one start against Kansas City first week of November last year. Have you thought much about that week leading into it when you knew that this was going to be your game, this was going to be your start? Have you thought much about that week?
I have. And, you know, it's funny because from where I am now and my knowledge of the offense and just game plans and stuff, it seems like it's just years ago. I just feel like I've grown already so much from it, and I can't wait to get going this year and continue to grow and learn. Because it's almost like looking back on your freshman year of college and being like, God, it may sound funny, but it's like I felt like a rookie out there. Obviously, I mean, but
well, you were
you really do, yeah, you really do. I mean, now looking back on it and seeing how things are, you know, truly run my first off season and chance to soak it all in. I've really grown a lot from that first start.
It wouldn't surprise me if you would look back at the Kansas City game and say it was all a blur as you look back at it. But you're not telling me that. It wasn't a blur. You can identify that game, what went right, what went wrong. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. No, wasn't a blur. I knew what happened, and I knew the good things and the bad and in between. So it was definitely some things to learn from that we've already gone over in the film room with TD and Coach Hackett. So it's been going really well at the offseason.
On the upside, and we just had Marquise Goodwin on the show the other night, the 59-yard touchdown pass to Marquise. Mm-hmm. That has to rank as one of the highlights of your short NFL career so far.
Absolutely.
I think.
Yep, absolutely.
What do you remember about that play?
Snap. Out of the shotgun. Tool going deep again. Looking for Goodwin. He's open. Makes the catch. There he goes. 15-10-5. Touchdown. Touchdown, Flash Goodwin. 58-yard touchdown throw. Jeff Tool to Marquise Goodwin.
To be honest with you, I remember taking a three-step drop, seeing Marquise getting an inside release and a good release, clean release, and just laying it out there for him and watching him run under it and watching him dance in the end zone.
You make it sound easy. Was it that easy, really?
It can be. You make it.
And then, of course, the downside, the interception towards the end of the game. You don't agonize over that, do you? I mean, certainly you don't want to be have your rookie year with all the things you did well and going back into preseason. That doesn't define your rookie year, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, it pisses me off, and obviously it's going to be, you know, it's going to, when I think back on it, you know, just bug me, but it's not something that I can dwell on because you got to move on from it and learn from it, like I said. So, No, it definitely doesn't define my rookie year at all. And I know I did a lot of great things and feel really good about my rookie year. And that's why I feel like I've been able to make such good strides this offseason because of the things I did well and learned from.
Jeff, when you came here back in April of 2013 to that rookie minicamp, did you anticipate the kind of opportunity that you'd get? Did you play more than you thought you might when you first signed with the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you come in here, I was the fourth quarterback.
Yeah.
I didn't get a rep in OTAs till I think the ninth or tenth one. And then I got the three reps in minicamp. And then, I mean, it just all, as soon as training camp hit, I mean, I was either going with the ones or twos, it seemed like.
Yeah. Kevin got hurt
every day,
early
exactly,
in training
yeah,
camp.
Real early. So then I was going with the twos. Then EJ went down. I was going with the ones. And then, you know, you never know how it's going to play out. That's why you always got to be ready. And I've learned that about football and this game is that, you know, if you think it's going to go one way, it's most likely not going to go that way. So you just continue to grind and get better and make sure you're at your top self. 24/7 because you never know when your name is going
to
be called.
Yeah, it has to, I would think, in some ways validate whether it was your decision or with your agent's guidance to get you to the Buffalo Bills, the amount of playing time and the opportunity you got last year.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
When you talk about you got to be ready, it sounds to me like, and I guess most players would be aware of this, that you're not just performing for the Bills, but the tape goes everywhere, and there are teams looking at video, and maybe some team looks at Jeff Toole and makes a note, you know, puts them in the file. They've all got files of everybody in the league. Is that in the back of your mind as far as where you're at in the NFL?
You know, up until you just said that, no. You know
okay.
what I mean? I don't think about it much. I'm here to play and win football games for the Bills right now. And wherever that takes me, it takes me. And, you know, I think if you look too much into the future, then you'll miss out on what's happening right now and you won't do well in the present moment. So I'm here to win ball games and do whatever I can to help this team and organization.
Jeff Toole, our guest, Bills quarterback. Tell me the role that the new quarterback's coach has played so far for you guys, Todd Downing. What has he done? What is he like in the meeting room? How different is he from Nathaniel Hackett?
I think it's been huge to have him on staff, honestly. We really get to dissect the reps, and, you know, he's asking us about, you know, footwork and concepts and defenses and we really, just like I said, just really get to go in depth with the stuff. And a lot of times with Coach Hackett, he's trying to do so much other things with the receivers and running backs. I mean, he's the offensive coordinator, so he's got a lot on his plate, you know, whether he's scripting, drawing up plays, whatever. So Todd, TD, just he's really been able to focus on us and really show us what it's like to be a pro, I think, because we're all young in the room, and we don't have an old veteran guy who's been there, done that, been in the league, had success. So, you know, we're all learning from TD, and he's kind of showing us the ropes and telling us little things here and there that, hey, listen, you guys got to do this. Pull this guy aside. Tell him this, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's been huge to have him.
It's hard to believe that Nathaniel Hackett would back off that face-to-face contact with your group, with the quarterbacks. He's still around. You're still getting a lot of feedback from him, I would think.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, he's still in the room every once, you know, a lot of the time, actually.
Yeah.
But if he needs to go run, do something, get something done, he does it because he's got TD there, and TD and I, or TD and all the other quarterbacks will be in there just grinding, watching film.
There's another addition to the offensive staff, Jim Hostler, who is senior offensive assistant. Do you have much interaction with him, and what sort of a role does he play with your group?
We do. We do have interaction with him. He'll come sit in with our meetings every once in a while, but he kind of has like the bird's eye view, I guess,
right,
or the bird's eye role of everything going on. He takes a step back and kind of soaks it all in. And he's more hands-on, I feel like, with the position coaches and stuff. But we try to pick his brain every once in a while when we can because he's a very, very smart guy and has been around for a while.
The reps that you've received through the OTAs and the mini camp, were you satisfied with the number of chances you got? Would you like more?
I think no one's ever satisfied, you know what I mean, unless you're the number one guy. And EJ obviously has received, you know, his number one reps, but, you know, going with the twos and threes and stuff, and I'm just trying to take advantage of every opportunity. That's out of my control, but, you know, whether I get one rep or 20, I'm going to make that one rep my best rep possible. So I think that's the attitude I have to take in order to play at my best.
We had a discussion on the radio show a couple nights ago, and it was kind of sparked by something that Nathaniel Hackett said about the importance of pace and the no-huddle pace of this offense. Why is that important to this offense, and what does the fast pace do for this offense?
You know, it's not as much what it does for this offense as it does to other defenses as well. I mean, it's a combination of us being able to tire the defense out and by running quick plays and getting that defensive line tired out so they're not rushing up the field as much or whatever it may be, but it also just helps us to get going. Coach Hackett really he doesn't like to sit around and wait at all. Right. I don't care if it's in practice, in the game, whatever. We got plays flying in, and we want to run them. And sometimes that really helps guys not to just, you know, think about things or let the last play go and move on. And there's a lot of things that go into the pace.
Eric Wood used to say a lot to me last year. I think he'd said it to a lot of people about how in that offense, the first down is critical. Do you believe that? And why would that be?
I really do, because when you're going so fast, you go three and out, it feels like it goes so quick.
Yeah.
So if you can get that first down, then it just feels like we're rolling. And then everything just seems to build on from that first down.
Jeff, you got about a month now until report day at St. John Fisher. What are your plans for the next month? What are you going to do?
Just going to go back home. Going to just work out, stay in shape, go through the playbook. Really don't have much planned.
You look forward to camp or do you dread it?
No, I look forward to it. Absolutely. Another opportunity. And had a great time there last year, obviously, you know, with the amount of reps and stuff I got and how much I learned. So I just continue just to keep building blocks and getting better.
Congratulations on getting your degree this offseason. Thanks very much for coming by here tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Jeff Toole, Bills quarterback, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, our thanks again to Jeff Toole for coming in studio and joining us as minicamp comes to an end this week. He seems like he's got his head screwed on straight, doesn't he? Here to support EJ Manuel, here to compete as much as he can for as much playing time as he can get. He had a pretty good preseason last year. Do you recall that? You remember we were taking calls in preseason last year, people saying they had to start Jeff Toole. Toole's got to be the guy. Well, it didn't work out that way, nor should it have worked out that way. But I think he provides some depth back there. And just to have the three of them in that room, in the quarterback room, for the second year in that offensive system is going to make a world of difference, I would think, in terms of their command of the offense. Talking about the Bills, 4 weeks away from the start of training camp. Can you believe that? 4 weeks. We got to jam the whole summer in the next 4 weeks. Like to hear from you, your thoughts on what are you most interested in seeing when they get to training camp? What are you most curious about? What question marks do the Bills take to training camp with them 4 weeks from today? 803-0550, the number to call with your answer to that, or toll free 1-888-550-2550, or you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets already about this issue. George Davidson tweets in, we have four starters at running back. How do you keep them happy? Also want to see E.J. Woods and Sammy and how they coexist. I don't know if you need to keep people happy. I think my sense is C.J. Spiller is number one on the depth chart. And I think a healthy C.J. Spiller could be a dynamic weapon for this offense. I think part of what they want to do offensively, we talked to Nathaniel Hackett about it the other night on the show, is to get C.J. back to where he was a couple of years ago and keep him happy, keep him fed, and then let the other guys sort of play around him. But I think Booby Dixon is probably going to win a roster spot. He can maybe swing over and play some fullback if they need him to. I'm sure Fred Jackson's going to be on the roster. After that, you know, we'll see. Bryce Brown is a contender. They traded for him, obviously. Frank Summers, Frank the Tank is back. Buffalo fan tweets in, I believe the Bills will make a strong push for the playoffs this year. Football has much to do with the O and D lines this year. And then the linebackers and offensive skill positions, it's here. Buffalo looks good. We've discussed this at length on the show about you have a hard time poking holes in the Buffalo Bills roster at this point, 4 weeks ahead of training camp. You really do. It basically all comes down to EJ. Mike Healy tweets in, EJ, 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 EJ. And Brian Worthy tweets in, how many old linemen are they going to carry? That's a really good question. And I did a little thinking about this when I read the tweet, Brian. I mean, look at it. Woods solid. Chris Williams is most likely going to be your left guard. Cordy Glenn's going to be your left tackle. Either Urbick or Hairston will be the right guard. And I would think at this point, Eric Pierce is going to be the starter at right tackle. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Kwanjo is going to make the team, second-round draft pick. Back up at right tackle, maybe more than that. I would believe that Cyril Richardson is going to make the team. And I think the other draft pick, Chantrell Henderson, who got a ton of reps with the ones with the first team at left tackle, I think Chantrell Henderson has a good shot at making the team. So that's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 offensive linemen. Can they keep any more? What about J.J. Unga? They liked him a lot last year. What about Doug Ligursky with all the experience he's had in the league? Antoine McClain, they like him a little bit. That's good. There are going to be some tough moves when they get down to roster trimming time this August. because I think you can pencil in the five and maybe seven of them, at least surefire roster guys. And then, you know, you can fill in after that with people like Cyril Richardson and Chantrell Henderson. And then, as I said, Unga, Ligurski, McLean, going to be some tough moves to make when it comes to the offensive line for the Buffalo Bills. So we're still 4 weeks away from training camp. During those 4 weeks, we'll have continued coverage here on the show. In fact, we'll be here next week with a week's worth of shows, and then Sal Capaccio takes over for a couple of weeks, and then the week after that, we're back to set you up for training camp, and then what do you know, we'll be at St. John Fisher College. Hey, you're invited to join the show next Monday night. We're going to be live on the road next Monday night, June 23rd, this coming Monday. We're going to be at the NOCO Express Store, Main and Young's in Williamsville, right across from ECC North. The John Murphy Show there from 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday. Fred Jackson will be there from 6:30 to 8 p.m. You can bring your favorite Bills item for Fred to sign. We ask that you limit it to one item per person. And bring along some questions. We'll put you on the show. It's going to be a good opportunity to meet and greet Fred Jackson, to see how we do the show. And we're looking forward to it. Billy Buffalo will be there as well. The John Murphy Show next Monday night, June 23rd, this coming Monday, with special guest Fred Jackson. It's at the NOCO Express Store, Main and Young's in Williamsville, 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday night. We'll take a break, come back and talk some more football with Ross Tucker, former Bills offensive lineman, now a host on Sirius XM NFL Radio. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby!
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk with actor Bill Fichtner. Bill Fichtner, you may recognize the name, but I'm sure you recognize the face, which we can't show you because we're on the radio. But Bill Fichtner is a Western New York native, Maryvale High School graduate, big-time Hollywood actor who is a big-time Buffalo Bills fan. He's going to join us in studio here tonight at 8:30. Going to talk a little bit about the Bills and the NFL with our old pal Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker played 7 years in the NFL on the offensive line, including two seasons here with the Buffalo Bills. Since then, he's gone on to fame and fortune as a host of Sirius XM NFL Radio. He is on the YES Network. You can see him on NBC Sports Network. He's a great Twitter site that I follow, at Ross Tucker NFL. And he's also the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Ross Tucker live on the line with us. Ross, how are you? Good to talk to you tonight.
Murph, I am fantastic. Always good to hear your voice. And fame and fortune, I'm over two in those categories. I can tell you that much.
Well, you're
right now. Unfortunately, and you know what I'm doing? I'm making a nice living talking about football and avoiding a real job like the plague.
Yeah, I've been kind of doing that for decades, too. It's fun. The last time I saw you, in fact, was, I believe, in the press box in the broadcast area at in Miami at the Dolphin Stadium. You were covering the Bills-Dolphins game down there last October, right?
Yes, it was Thad Lewis started, yep. And Mario Williams had a couple really big, Mario Williams had a couple of game-changing sacks, and I think you could pretty much say he won the game. And when you're paying a guy that much money, you know, you're looking for him to be different in a couple games, and he certainly was in that game for sure.
Well,
that he and Mike Sherman's play calling.
Yeah, that's true. And how about Thad Lewis going 2-0 for the Bills against the Dolphins last year? As a former Bills player, you can appreciate that, huh?
Absolutely. And just think about, the Dolphins would have made the playoffs,
yep,
if it wasn't for the Buffalo Bills. So all those years where it's been the other way, it's kind of nice that the Bills spoiled the Dolphins' chance. It's amazing, actually, with everything the Dolphins went through and their O-line, everything, that they were even in that position.
Yeah. Hey, Russ, among the many things I want to ask you about, I want to ask you about what you've done this past week. You were one of the instructors at the 8th Annual NFL Boot Camp broadcasting at NFL Films in New Jersey this past week. Did you go there as a player to broadcast boot camp as well?
Yeah, you know what happened, Murph, is every year that I was in the NFL, I had an internship, And when I was in Buffalo, I interned with Kurt Schultz, the old safety at Merrill Lynch. And then my last year, I didn't know it was going to be my last year. I knew it might be. In 2007, they had the first ever broadcast boot camp. And I thought, you know what? It's free. It's good experience. And I thought for sure I'd get involved in finance. But I knew I loved football so much that I had to have it in my life a little bit somehow. So I thought maybe I would just do a high school game on Friday night and cry during the national anthem or do a Princeton game on Saturday. And I went there, and it went really well. And I was on injured reserve with the Redskins after I hurt my neck. And so I didn't really have an opportunity to get a real job at that point. So I started doing some media stuff, and it went well. And I thought, you know what? I really like this. I really enjoy this. I mean, if Murph can make a career out of this, maybe I can.
Good point. Yeah, I've launched a lot of careers that way, people looking at me like that. How was it as an instructor to go to broadcast boot camp this past week? And what sort of things did you talk to the players about, Ross?
You know, it's weird, Murph. I've been there every year since, so it makes me feel old. It's my eighth year now that I'm there, and I think it does a couple of things. You know, the value I think I provide is, A, I'm like proof that you can get a job from going there, and B, because I do all the different things I do, I can kind of speak to all of it. So I spend most of my time talking on the radio, talk radio with the SiriusXM folks, and then I also get together with Howie Dennerhoff and the Westwood One folks to talk about, you know, doing games on the radio. And so I can kind of speak to both those things. The reality is, for most of those guys, their opportunities are going to be in radio, whether it's high school, college, you know, maybe sideline somewhere, or maybe local sports talk radio somewhere. And so I just kind of give them my insight on the pros and cons of national versus local and college versus pros, et cetera.
Are those guys at broadcast boot camp, those players, current players, are they realistic about what it might take to get into broadcasting, Ross? Do they all want to start on NBC Sunday Night Football next year?
I think it's a big wake-up call. I think they get there and they realize, whoa, this is A, harder than I thought it would be, and B, you know, the only guys that get those gigs are like Hall of Fame caliber players.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they recognize that that's not going to be them. And what we try to explain is that I think there's a perception, Murph, that people in the industry get paid a lot more money than they do. And I think these guys think TV, radio, you make a lot, and they only hear about the guys on Monday Night Football and the money they're getting. And I don't think they realize that that's not really how the whole industry is. I mean, it can be a very nice living, but it's going to be a significant pay cut for all those guys.
And one more question about broadcast boot camp, Ross, that you just completed again. You said your seventh or eighth year there. Was there any student who went through there, any player who went through there, that you thought, this guy's got it, he's going to make it, and in fact went on to make it fairly big as a broadcaster in the NFL?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, there have been some guys over the years I thought he's pretty slick. I think Maurice Jones-Drew will be good. And he does some fantasy stuff for Sirius, but he gets it. You know, he gets the fan interaction and he gets the growth of fantasy. He's been one just from my year. Tim Hasselbeck has gone to ESPN, myself. I tell you, the guy that was really pretty good this year was Brady Quinn. And he's just so darn good looking, it makes you sick, you know. And so he's got a big name going for him. He's a good looking guy. He's very smart. I mean, he sent me a follow up email. Like he gets it. And so my guess is a guy like that probably will land something pretty darn good in college, just because, you know, he started for Notre Dame for 4 years.
Yeah, that's true. We're on the line with Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, including a couple of years here with the Bills. He's a host on SiriusXM NFL Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL, and you can go to Ross Tucker Football Podcast to hear his thoughts on the NFL. I did that, actually, Ross, and came up with a couple of things that you've been thinking about recently. And it seems like many people agree with you about Johnny Manziel, especially in relation to the latest video, the the pile of money he had. You thought that was kind of embarrassing for Manziel, and I got the sense that you may believe that Manziel is headed down the wrong path?
I'm out on him, Murph. I'm out. I mean, I was before the draft, I said I was a believer because he has such a unique ability to make the right play at the right time. I believe, you know, the more you watch the NFL, the Kaepernicks, the Russell Wilson, I think that's a skill that really translates, being able to make that, even Roethlisberger, you know, making the critical play on third down. It just seems like Manziel has that gift. And during the pre-draft process, you know, he didn't go to the Super Bowl or any of the Super Bowl parties or the NBA All-Star game. I thought, yeah, I kind of believed his Eddie Haskell routine, that stuff was behind him. And that, you know, he was going to focus now, but I'm out now. And that doesn't mean he won't be a successful player. He very well possibly might, but I'm fiscally conservative by nature, Murph. I'm just a conservative guy, and I would not invest my money or my belief or trust in him. Because you know what the problem is, Murph? You know he knows right from wrong, and you know he gets it, because he didn't do any of this stuff before the draft.
Yeah.
Now it's almost like he's basically saying to everybody, yeah, I fooled all of you. Now I'm going to do whatever the heck I want. And I can't find an NFL player, that a quarterback especially, that's living that lifestyle that's had a lot of success. And the best guys I was around, you know, Brady in New England, Bledsoe, they're just not like that. And don't get me wrong, both those guys, you know, we're men's men, and they'd hang out with their old line, and we'd have a good time. But they're not doing stupid stuff where they're on a video, and their eyes are shut, and they're dropping F-bombs. It's just a really, really bad look, because it just shows you that he's not taking his role as the face of the franchise seriously. And as I wrote my column, Murph, for the Sporting News, you know, I was once, you know, really close to one of the starting quarterbacks, and I called him one time, and he was at Home Depot, Murph, getting equipment to make a beer funnel for a party at his house that night. You know, I mean, and we had a great time, but when we were out in public, he would never have more than two beers, because he knew people were watching him, and he knew there would be message boards the next day and stuff saying, so-and-so, you know, I had so many beers, you know, he'd be watching tape or whatever. But if he was in a private residence and it was, you know, my house or his house or whatever, and he knew he could trust the people there, he would let it loose pretty good. I don't know why Johnny Manziel or Hal has not figured that out yet, that when you're in public, you know, I mean, he's the face of a billion-dollar-plus franchise. It's just, it's got to be scary as heck for all the people that are kind of counting on him to help keep their jobs. I mean, Jimmy Haslam could fire people left and right. Johnny Manziel is not exactly inspiring confidence at this point.
Yeah, and that was leading to my next question. 6 weeks after the draft, do you detect any signs of buyer's remorse on the part of the Cleveland Browns, or is it too soon for that?
None publicly, but I know privately this last one was concerning, because it feels like it's escalating. You know, like the picture with the girls in Vegas and Gronk, I mean, that's just awesome. Good for him. Then the next picture is, he's got a bottle of champagne on an inflatable swan. That's like, I don't know about that one. And this last one is like, it's hit, like, they must be scared as heck about what this weekend's going to be, you know? I mean, it's like, it's getting worse and worse. So I got to think that they're a little worried, because I know they've talked to him, and it's like he doesn't care. It's like he was just saying what he had to say to get drafted. Now he's like, aha, you know, 95% of my contract's guaranteed. Too bad for you. I'm going to do whatever I want, prove I can do it my way. And I'd be surprised if he can. I mean, that's one of the things you really have to be excited about when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, just the way that EJ conducts himself. I mean, I can see why so many people were so impressed with him during the pre-draft process. I've spoken to him one-on-one on several occasions. He's such an impressive kid, Murph. I hope he's the right guy for you guys so bad. I hope he gets there, because I think you got a pretty good roster around him now. He's such a good kid. He's got all the physical tools. Man, if he could put it all together.
Well, what are your prospects for the Bills this year? What I mean, I've listened to you sometimes in the mornings on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Ross, and what do you think? Do they have a chance to contend for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they're good enough now that they do. I'm a little concerned with the switch from Pettine to Schwartz. I think Pettine's a better defensive coach than Jim Schwartz is. Obviously, they're not better at the safety position. Now, I don't begrudge them for letting Bird go, especially, what a nightmare, by the way, Bird. I mean, by the way, Murph, that you let Bird go and he has to have a back surgery?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what ended my career in Buffalo. I started 13 games. We went 9-4 in those 13 games in 04. Then I had a back surgery and I was out of there.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, can you imagine giving a guy $26 million guaranteed for injury that has to have a back surgery?
Wow.
That's like the team doctor and the cap guy should both be worried about their jobs right now, if you ask me. I mean, that's crazy. So I don't begrudge them for that, but he still was a pretty significant playmaker on the back end. You know, they're probably, Murph, like a lot of teams, they're probably around 500, and then it's, you know, those games that come down to a touchdown or less, do they split them? Do they go, you know, 2-6 in those games? Or do they go 6-2 in those games? Because they're going to be in a lot of those games. I don't think any of us really know whether or not TJ is going to make the plays. I know he did against Carolina, but they're going to be in a lot of games like that. They're not good enough they're going to blow people out. They're not bad enough that they're going to get blown out.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned the end of your career, Russ. And before we let you go, you had a really, I thought, really thoughtful piece on, I guess it was Sporting News, about the end of your career and the end of Green Bay running back Jonathan Franklin's career. Basically, you said these players, they got to get as much money as they can when they can, right? Because your career can end at a moment's notice, as it did almost in your case.
Well, I mean, Murph, I tell them all the time. I mean, listen, I went to Princeton, right? So I value education clearly. But anytime a guy is going to get drafted in the top three or four rounds, I tell him to go pro because the injury rate is just so high. As soon as you can start to make money for your family and get that, I mean, you know, my 7 years have set up everything. You know, I saved that money. That's gotten my family off to a great financial head start. It's the reason why I'm on the radio and TV and stuff. I mean, I'm so thankful. I'm glad I didn't redshirt at Princeton. I'm glad I just went right, you know, my 4 years, so I started actually making money. It's also why if a guy holds out, I've got no problem. I mean, every play could be your last. I mean, you know, 2004, Tom Donahoe gives me a 3-year contract extension as a restricted free agent. Then I have my best year. You know, we go 9-4 when I start. We almost make the playoffs. I'm still mad that we didn't in that game against the Steelers backups.
Yep.
That still bothers me, and I've talked to guys about it all the time. I was talking to Hines Ward about it on Wednesday, in fact. And then I have the back surgery, and then I try to come back in camp and tear my hamstring and whatever, and then they cut me. So 1 year into a 3-year deal, and Murph, I was never as good. I really wasn't that great to begin with, but I was never as good after that. And so, you know, you never know when that's going to come for you. So I'm thrilled that Donahoe gave me the 3-year extension and that I made over $1 million that year. Because if I had waited, yeah, I had a good year, but then I had a back surgery. Nobody would have given me any money that offseason. So, you know, you're a ticking time bomb in the NFL. Jonathan Franklin, the poor kid, got 19 carries last year. It's over for him. I just want guys, you know, he has these physical gifts. I just hope as many guys, my goal, Mark, is for as many guys as possible to maximize those physical gifts for their families because a lot of them are not in a great position for post football.
Yep. Hey, Russ, we always appreciate your insights from the player's perspective, and we love listening to you on the radio and the podcast and following you on Twitter. We thank you very much for being with us tonight. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Anytime, Murph. Let's go, Buffalo.
Thanks, Russ. Russ Tucker, former Bills offensive lineman. He still got it. He still got it. He spent a couple of years here, 03 and 04, with the Buffalo Bills. He spent 7 years in the National Football League. You heard him tell the story about the end of his tenure here in Buffalo, and he's right, that 0-4 season. A lot of stuff went down in that final game against the Steelers, including, you know, the end of his tenure in Buffalo. You can follow Ross on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. You can listen to him on Sirius XM NFL Radio. He's on most mornings, weekday mornings there. And, of course, you can pick up the podcast at the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Go to rostucker.com. I think one of the more intelligent, refreshing voices covering the NFL these days, Ross Tucker. And it's always a pleasure to bump into him on the road as we did last year down in Miami before the Bills played the Miami Dolphins. So he's been an instructor at NFL Broadcast Boot Camp, as he said, for what, 7 or 8 years? Some pretty big names in that group, including people you would have heard of. Greg Cosell, he's been a guest on the show from NFL Films. Fred Gaudelli, the producer of NFL Sunday Night Football. Ron Jaworski, you know that name. These are the instructors there. Kurt Menefee from Fox. Ross Tucker stands aside John Saunders from ESPN, Solomon Wilcox from CBS. Ross Tucker down there this past week at Broadcast Boot Camp. Who are the players who are getting instruction? The players taking advantage of the NFL Broadcast Boot Camp? No former Buffalo Bills, as far as I can tell, but again, some familiar names that you would recognize. Actually, Jay Foreman, a former Buffalo Bill. How'd I miss him? Remember him? Chuck Foreman's son, a linebacker, I believe, who kind of bounced around from the Bills to Houston, to the Giants, to San Francisco. He was at Broadcast Boot Camp. Here's another former Bill, Nick Ferguson, who spent a little time with Buffalo, a defensive back with the Jets, the Bills, Denver, and Houston. So I misspoke. Deion Branch, former Patriot, was there at Broadcast Boot Camp. These are the names you're likely to hear on NFL broadcasts in the years ahead. Marcus Price, former Buffalo Bill. How did I say there were no former Bills there? There were, in fact, at the Broadcast Boot Camp. Brady Quinn, you heard Ross Tucker talk about him. Amani Toomer, who I hear already on NFL, Sirius XM NFL Radio. Sage Rosenfels. Broadcast Boot Camp, what a great opportunity it is for players, current and recently retired players, to get an immersion into the world of broadcasting and hear from some of the great broadcast voices of the NFL right now, including Ross Tucker. Thanks to Ross for joining us tonight to talk about that. Well, we're going to switch from football. We're going to still talk about the Bills, though, but switch from football to the world of Hollywood. In fact, Bill Fichtner has made his home in Hollywood, now in Prague in the Czech Republic, as he stars in the television series that is produced over there. But his roots are in Cheektowaga, New York, at Maryvale High School. Bill Fichtner, one of the finest character actors of his generation, a face that is instantly recognizable to television and movie fans, and he is very much a Buffalo Bills fan in town this week. We're going to sit down in studio and talk with Bill Fichtner when we return. Bills fan Bill Fichtner. It is the John Murphy Show. It is presented by NOCO. We are live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, and a special visitor to our studio tonight. He is in town helping out the Buffalo Bills with some of their promotional shoots. He is an actor that you know from the movies and from television, Bill Fichtner, Western New York native, in studio with us. Bill, thanks for coming by.
It's my pleasure. How you doing? All right.
Great. What brings you out here to One Bills Drive?
Well, you know, we're shooting. Do we call it a promo?
Yeah.
I think we call it a promo.
Yeah. Scoreboard video
let's
stuff.
Let's put it this way. There was no twisting of an arm to get me to come and say these words today.
You are a Western New York native, a graduate of Maryvale High School, and
right.
I presume a Bills fan for most of the time.
Oh, all the way, babe.
How did that tell me about that process? I think we're the same age. I'm 57. You're about that?
I'm
right?
57.
So
you got it.
So we grew up around the same era with, like, probably Joe Ferguson, and those teams were probably your first
A little
Bills
bit team. Earlier than that. We're all talking right. Jack Kemp and Daryl LaMonica and being out at the old Rock Pile.
Yeah.
I remember going to those games with my dad and his barber, Russ.
Okay.
I don't know. It was his barber, Russ, and he had great licorice. And I remember walking down outside of that stadium.
Jefferson and Best.
Was it 66? When I remember walking on the sidewalk as part of the goalpost walked by. It was one of the years that we won it.
Yeah, yeah.
They tore a goalpost down.
My uncle used to take us to games with my father and my brothers. My uncle used to buy a separate ticket for a quarter keg of beer, and he would set the quarter keg of beer on the seat next to the group.
I wonder how many people sat in that old stadium. What do you think, like 30?
Yeah, I think it was about 30,
about
33.
30?
Yeah, great place to watch a game. And you obviously followed the Bills through their move here to Orchard Park and the games here in Orchard Park, I would think.
Hey, listen, when I was in high school and taking driver's ed, we would come out to the parking lot here. This is where we would... Yeah. We'd come all the way down Union Road and cross over, and I learned how to drive in the parking lot here. But, yeah, this is, you know, I mean, boy, you know, it seems like it was yesterday, like it was a brand-new place, and now there's so much history here.
What are your memories of the Super Bowl era Bills? It's 20 years ago now.
You know, wishing we won.
Yeah.
You know, a great team, a great team. And everybody talks about the fact that, but you never won one. No. These guys were just, you know, top of the game. And to be a fan in that time period, we had a lot to cheer about with a lot of great players and just an amazing offense, defense. I mean, everything about it was, I remember being in the different places also where I saw the games. I remember living in New York, seeing the first Super Bowl game, and remember I was shooting something in Wyoming, barely being able to find a television and some bar to watch the Redskins game. Looking forward to the next one.
Are you in the circles in which you travel in Hollywood and New York and in Europe? Do you wear your Bills fandom on your sleeve? Do people know you're a Bills fan? Do you think?
If you know me,
yeah.
There's no missing the boat that I'm a Bills fan. You know, most of the last 2 years I've been living in the Czech Republic in Prague, and thank God for NFL Game Pass, because on Sunday nights it's 7 o'clock Prague time. These games right here from the stadium come live right into my house.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I love it.
We're with actor Bill Fichtner, the Western New York native, Maryvale High School graduate. You mentioned the time in Prague. You're on a series there, I think going into its third year, called Crossing Lines. That's going to be available on Netflix, huh?
Yeah, the second season is coming up. First and second season are coming up on Netflix. And I'll find out in the next week or two if the show's going to get picked up. I think it is. I hope so, because I'm looking forward to going back. I love Prague. I love the Czech Republic. So I'm not done with my Prague experience yet.
Crossing Lines is sort of a crime show in which you play a police detective, right?
Yeah.
And a former detective who got in some sort of trouble?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I've ever played a character that isn't fractured, gets in trouble, and has a lot of problems.
I was going to ask you, you look at...
You know, I'm drawing on my Western New York, you know?
I was looking at your filmography, and you're always playing a villain or sort of a, even if not a villain, sort of a shady character.
That's not true. You know, I don't know why you're going there right now, John. No. Listen, my wife used to tease me. You know, I die in so many movies. She said to me, you know, if you did a McDonald's commercial, you'd probably die. I'm like, give me a break, honey.
One of your favorite roles, for me anyway, was in the movie Crash with that great ensemble cast. What a great movie. Won the Oscar for Best Picture 10 years ago.
You know, the funny thing about Crash is that's a one scene. Play one scene in the film. They shot the movie and added that scene later. They shot the movie and realized we needed one more scene, this sort of thing. So they wrote that scene, and the director called me, and he said, would you be interested? And I read it, and I remember calling my agent saying, I'll do a one-scene part like this anytime you find it, because I thought it was that good, too.
Yeah.
I like that film. I love that film. You know, I've been fortunate enough to work on some really incredible films in amazing places. Black Hawk Down, you know, shooting that for 5 months in Morocco was a real highlight, especially meeting all of the guys, you know, that, you know, a lot of them that were there. Perfect Storm and Armageddon. These are, you know, just memories never to be forgot. And some little films too. You know, I had a great time last summer shooting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So that comes out this August.
That's not animated. That's
this is a live action. Michael Bay produced big.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll be big. Is that a kids movie or will it?
I've seen a couple of clips from it. I wouldn't take a 5-year-old to it. I think it's a little
okay.
It's a little freaky and a little scary, but I think it's great. It's a PG-13. Obviously,
okay.
It's going to be. It might be a G movie, but it's good. It's exciting. It's not a bouncy cartoon like a lot of the original films that were made about.
Do the subject. Seek out roles as, you know, the bad guy, or do they sort of find you?
You know, to be honest, you know, they're like the television show, you know, a fractured guy, but, you know, a good guy. I don't look for anything that's in particular like, oh, I want to play bad guys. I want to play this. You know, I look for the role. A lot of things come along. Sometimes I get scripts where the bad guy's like, he's so bad. I can't find a real person in there. I don't really want to play it. I'm always looking for something that makes a character. Sometimes, you know, the truth about it is a lot of the roles that I like tend to be, I think, the more interesting roles in the piece. And sometimes those are the bad guys. Those are the guys that got a lot of things going on.
People have said that. Actors have said that. It's not easier to play the bad guys, but more interesting maybe to play the bad guys.
You know, as long as, you know, I mean, without getting into actor speak or something,
yeah.
if you can find out what a character cares about, you know, bad guys don't think they're bad guys.
Right.
If they're good bad guys, they have their own reasons, their own set of circumstances, how they operate in their life. When you can figure out things like that, then all of a sudden it's a real person no matter what he's doing, and it becomes pretty interesting.
Actor Bill Fichtner in studio with us, a graduate of Maryvale High School. In your career, what part of Western New York do you carry with you? What sort of stays with you as you move through all of these roles that you've played?
Chicken wings. Everywhere I go.
I carry some of those myself.
Because everywhere you go, somebody on the menu has buffalo chicken wings. I love pulling out the line, are they really buffalo chicken wings? Don't tell a guy from Buffalo they're buffalo chicken wings. These things are flopping on the floor over here. They're not wings.
There's a theory that the farther you get away from Buffalo, the worse the wings get.
It's not a theory. It's a reality.
It's true. Yeah.
But the, you know, right now I live in L.A., where my home base is, and some guys from Buffalo opened up a place out there in Las Villas, a section of L.A., and I haven't been there yet, and I just heard about it, but apparently there's killer wings there, so I'll find out.
They'll probably love to have you walk through the door, right?
Yeah. You know, to answer your question, I think that you know, the thing about Buffalo being here in Buffalo, you know, it's not what we say, it's what we do. We don't put the cart before the horse. It's not really a bragging sort of town. It's not us. It's not us as a people. You know, we let our actions speak. I think that's something that, you know, that I certainly got from, you know, my parents. And I think that's something that defines who we are here.
And that sort of applies to your favorite football team, too, the Buffalo Bills. They've got to do something, right, after this long 14-year drought without a playoff spot.
I know. It's tough. But I got to tell you something. I mean, if you're not optimistic now, there's, you know, this isn't, you know, you're crazy, because this is a great time to be optimistic.
Tell me why. What do you like about this team?
You know, I think EJ is just, I just saw things last year as the season went on. I just wish I would have seen him in every game, you know. Unfortunately for injuries, that didn't happen. But it's going to happen this year. And that's how you build, you know. And after the draft that came up, we got a lot to smile about. I mean, you know, when you watch a football team and you love a football team and you want them to get to that next place and the place after that, I saw enough last year. You know, you get a flash here and a flash here. Yes, you know, we had some ups and downs, but I thought we had a lot more ups than downs. And the truth about it is, with a couple of plays here and there, you know, we're in the playoffs last year. I mean, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Arguably there's four games, you know, in the first seven games that we could have won. You know, we didn't. It's all right. We're going to win them this year.
You've had a chance to spend some time around the complex here in Orchard Park this week. It looks different. It's kind of exciting to see the construction here and what's going to be the new stadium here.
Well, when we were pulling in, I said to my good friend Tim Clark, I said, what's all the cars? Is there a game going on here?
Yeah.
Half the parking lot's
construction
full.
Construction workers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
getting it ready.
Are you going to be able to get back to a game, or are you going to be in Prague this fall?
I may be in Prague, but, you know, if I can get back, oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to run out of the tunnel. I'm sorry. I'm throwing it out there right now. I want to run out of the tunnel.
That could happen.
With my 12-year-old.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, listen, I'm a big fan, lifelong fan. I have a 12-year-old. His name is Van. Not named after Van Miller.
Okay.
That's what my friends said to me when I named him Van.
That's
like, after Van Miller?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Van Morrison, I get that a lot.
Right.
That's my wife's grandfather. But this little boy, he's in camp right now in the Berkshires in Massachusetts for a month. The first day of camp, he says to his mom as we're packing him up last week, just make sure I got my Bill stuff ready to go. It's no matter where he goes, no matter where he walks, it is about Buffalo. And you know, he visits here, but he's not from here. But, you know, those that are from here, it's in us. We pass it on. And that's why we got the greatest fans in the world.
When you come back and you run through the tunnel, then stop up on the radio booth. We'd love to have you there.
Absolutely not. No, I'm not.
Come on. It's fun up there.
You called me a bad guy.
You played the bad guy.
All right. I'll be a good guy that day.
All right. Great. Bill, thank you. It's great to meet you.
Pleasure.
Bill Fichtner, actor, Bills fan, who is back in Buffalo this week. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're in the home stretch, and we got a few minutes left here. And if you got something on your mind about the Bills or the upcoming training camp 4 weeks from tonight, phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Again, big thank you to Bill Fichtner. Can I call him Bill? I guess so. I mean, That's the first thing I asked him when he sat down, Bill William. He goes, Bill. Of course it's Bill. Really good actor. You've seen him in a lot of stuff. Really good guy. Obviously a huge Bills fan. We're the same age. We kind of share the same experience. Yeah. You know, the 1964-65 championship teams, the 70s. I talked to him about the movie that he's in that's among my favorites is the movie. It's 10 years old now, Crash. Best Picture in 2004. He had a small role in it, as he said, as his assistant DA. And again, a somewhat corrupt bad guy. But he does seem to attract those roles. That's good. I mean, those are the juiciest roles, actors will tell you. Bill Fichtner, thanks to him for joining us on the show tonight. We really had a good time talking with him. We're 4 weeks away from report day for the Buffalo Bills at training camp. It is July 18th, 4 weeks from tonight, and the first practice is 4 weeks from this Sunday, July 20th. And we want to hear from you. What are the question marks for the Bills when they head to training camp in 4 weeks? Give us a call when you think you have an answer, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. As minicamp wrapped up this week, offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett addressed the guy that many people think is the number one question about the Buffalo Bills, quarterback E.J. Manuel. And Hackett was asked about E.J.'s development through the OTAs and this week's minicamp.
It's just nice to see him make plays within the pocket, step up, find his check downs, throw the ball down the field a couple times. So he's really starting to get it all. It was even when we came into mini camp, it was funny. He looks and he's like, okay, no more new install. We just get to work on what we've been doing. So I think that's always a refresher for a quarterback that he gets to just kind of excel at what he's doing right now and what we've got in.
How concerned at all are you with his accuracy?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Just got to keep on practicing, keep on working, and let him get more and more comfortable hitting moving targets.
What were the main things coming into camp, or at least what today's too, that you wanted to see from him this offseason?
The biggest thing for EJ is just kind of the command of the offense, command of how he runs the whole thing. I think with the system that we have, I put it so much more on the quarterback to be able to run the whole thing, from getting the guys lined up and communicating it to him. We put a lot on him from that standpoint. And I think just that operation and understanding not only the playbook, because we've expanded it a little bit more, him going on his second year and wanting to have a couple more little plays here and there. So I think putting all that stuff on him, how he commands it and how he picks up the new stuff, it has been something we've really kind of strived for, and he's done a nice job with that.
So it's kind of a confidence thing, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I mean, just, you know, they say I think you have to do something 10,000 times to be an expert on it. So that means we got to call one play 10,000 times so we can get all the looks at it. And the looks continually get exponential. I mean, compared to the stuff we saw last year to now the stuff that we face out there versus Coach Schwartz and that defense. So it's as much many reps as he can get throwing to the left, to the right, to different receivers and all that stuff. I mean, it's endless the amount of stuff he can do to gain confidence.
Nathaniel Hackett, the Bills' offensive coordinator, meeting with the media earlier this week as minicamp wrapped up. Nathaniel Hackett also talked about a couple of areas where the Bills can get better. Red zone production. They were not great at that. I want to say they're in the bottom quarter of the league in red zone production. Third down conversion rate. They were not great at that last year either. Nathaniel Hackett, Bills' offensive coordinator, talked about how to do that, how to convert on third down, and how important that is to this Bills team.
The big thing for us right now is converting on third down. I mean, when you look at us last year, I think that right there is going to extend so many more drives for us. We have to continue to be better at that, and that's been something I've really challenged the guys for. Third down and red zone, those situations, and that's what's going to really get us the more plays. I mean, we just do what we do. The same amount of drives and opportunities we'll have will be the same. It's just how long those plays are. When we would go on 12 and 15 play drives, it was awesome, and those guys got in rhythm, and they got to get a good feel for how the defense was playing. I think when you go three and out, you know, four plays, five plays, whatever it might be, that's when they can't get that. So I think that just really converting on third down is going to extend a lot of stuff for us.
Nathaniel Hackett talking about third down, red zone. He also had some thoughts about the two-minute drill. A couple of times this week, the Bills wrapped up practice. I want to say Tuesday and Thursday, they wrapped up practice by working on a two-minute offense, put the time on the clock, set up a situation, give them timeouts and a certain goal, whether it's field goal or touchdown. Nathaniel Hackett talked about how competitive those sessions are and how important it is to put his players on offense in those competitive situations.
The thing about the offense, and we've been really challenging them with this too, is just their competitive edge and wanting that to show. I mean, this is football. We play this game. It's fun. We got to get that competitor out of them, and that was something that we just saw there. And it was funny because I wasn't even in the huddle at all for that when I was back calling the plays, and you could just see the whole thing switch because last time we did the two-minute, it wasn't very pretty. And I think that they realized that. And I think the more that they hold themselves accountable, it's going to be special. And I think that was something that we saw them. They really push it. They got after it. They were fighting for it. And I think that's what we need all the time. And that's something good to build on.
Their performance today as opposed to the last time, right?
Yeah, last 2 minutes. Yeah, it was much better today. They were on same point. They were winning routes. EJ was delivering the ball. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff. Just even on the first play with the screen. I mean, last time we ran the exact same play first, and we had a couple mishaps. This time they got it, and that's what it's about. It's about getting better every second and just pushing yourselves for all those little things.
More thoughts from Nathaniel Hackett. A couple more things he thought in terms of the offensive line, and in particular, Chris Hairston. You know his story. He was on the show with us a couple weeks ago. Hairston missed all of last year with an undisclosed illness. Back this year, still working himself into condition, but he has been given a clean bill of health. He can't come back and play. Chris Hairston, this week, after getting a couple of snaps at guard a couple of weeks ago, this week he took all of the snaps that he took at the guard position, at the right guard position. We had a chance to talk with Nathaniel Hackett about that, about Hairston working at guard and what that could mean to his future this season.
I think anytime we have any players, we want to get them in there. We want to see how they fit, see where they are. We always want competition. I mean, everybody wants competition. That brings the best out of everybody. So I think the more people we can put in there, the more people that we can see, the better everybody's going to be. And it's going to put the pressure on everybody across that line.
But him specifically, what?
Oh, I think he's earned that. I think he's earned it to do the standpoint is that he's come back after a year off, and he's done some great things. And I think that when a guy comes back and does what he's doing, I mean, it goes across the board for all those guys. Chantrell was out there at left. I mean, all those different things you're doing, you want to get those guys in there and see how they are when they get against the, oh, all of a sudden Mario Williams is there. You want to see how they're going to react. How all of a sudden Kyle Williams is in front of you. And that's a big deal, and we want to see that and see how they compete.
Nathaniel Hackett, Bills offensive coordinator, talking about a variety of topics at the end of this week's minicamp session. Hey, next Monday night, want to remind you, make sure you join us if you can. Next Monday night, the show is going to be live on site at the NOCO Express Store, Main Street, Youngs Road in Williamsville, right across the street from the ECC North Campus. We'll be there doing the show from 7 to 9 p.m. Fred Jackson, Bills running back, will be there from 6:30 to 8. Fred will be there ready to sign autographs. You can bring one item per person for Fred to autograph and bring questions for us, and we'll put you on the air. Billy Buffalo will be there as well. Next Monday night, June 23rd, will be with special guest Fred Jackson. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, presented from NOCO at the NOCO store, Main and Young Street in Williamsville, 7 to 9 next Monday. That's going to do it for us tonight. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Tom Reitz is our engineer, our producer Jay Harris, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday at NOCO, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.